Like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 19 verse 28. The Gospel of Luke chapter 19 verse 28.
The Gospel of Luke chapter 19 verse 28 reads this way. It says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, once again asking the blessing, Lord, your blessing on your word. May you open up our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that we might worship you truly in spirit and in truth as you've called us to. And Lord, once again, that you might guide us into your way, that we might be drawn nearer to you and understand more about the salvation that you've given to us. And then Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that may not know you as Savior, may you speak to them as only you can about the importance of knowing you, Lord, as their personal Savior as well. So bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply The Lord's Ascension Up to Jerusalem. This is what, again, a lot of people call the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and it was a triumphant entry here. But I want you to see something here as we consider our text here. Back in the book of Zechariah, you don't have to turn over there, but Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says this about what just took place. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." So this was spoken of back in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and it was being fulfilled here during the Lord's earthly ministry. We're seeing that come right to pass, and that's what the amazing part is. And here's an important truth. The Pharisees and anybody who understood the Word of God could have seen that also. In fact, would you say the Lord wants us to know His Word? Yeah, he wants us to know his word because he wants us to know what he is doing and how he works and how he wants to work in each and every one of our lives. And so we'll see a little bit more of that here this morning. We're going to notice the preparation. We're going to see the Lord's triumph and the disciples' praises. We're going to see all kinds of good things here that the Lord has performed for you and I, that we might understand more about the mercy and the grace that God has given to us. I pray we would never get tired of hearing the old story. Amen. I pray that we can come to the Lord how? As a little child in the simplicity of faith in the Lord to guide us to understand more about what he has given to us. And as we approach the Lord that way, he is honored by our humility and will bless and show us great and mighty things. I want to remind you something here. Does the Lord know everything that is going to take place? The Lord knows that. The Bible tells us here in Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Do you believe that? Yes. That means each and every one of us belong to the Lord. Now, salvation is to only those that believe, but the whole earth is still the Lord's. Whether they reject the Lord or whether we believe on the Lord, the whole earth is the Lord's and everything thereon in it. And so that's why the Lord was able to tell these disciples, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and you're going to find this cult here and you're going to bring it to me. And if anybody asks you, tell them that the Lord has need of him. And did somebody ask them? Just like the Lord said. And then they gave the message, they gave the word, the Lord has need of him, and they let the colt go, and he was able to perform that which he had promised. Why? Because he is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of everything. So here we find, in this portion of Scripture, again, the Lord's triumphant entry here, and it was a time of celebration, but it was also a time of great humility. As we consider this, I do want to remind you that the Lord knew everything that was going to take place. And as we consider this at first glance, it did elevate the Lord to a place of honor and glory, did it not? As he came in and everybody was singing Hosanna and singing the praise of the Lord. But I also want you to know that he also knew that he would be falsely arrested, did he not? Yeah, he would be accused and crucified, and that would really bring ultimately the Lord to trial, and then the crucifixion and the humility of all humility, the Lord was mocked, right, and railed on, and yet he knew all this was going to happen and still submitted himself to the Father's will, to the glory of the Father and the triune God, and this would be later turned back on him. They would say, oh, look, you know, he, look at all these things he had done, but he can't even save himself. Remember that? He saved others, but nobody could save him, right? He couldn't save himself. He could save others. And the wonderful truth is that there was a thief on the cross that while he was dying, understood and heard that also. Hey, he saved others. Guess what that thief thought? I'm another. And did he not call upon the Lord? And did not the Lord say, today you will be with me in paradise? Question, was that thief on the cross in paradise with the Lord? Yes. Absolutely he was. And he listen, even in the midst of humility, even in the midst of rejection, what a great loving Savior you and I have. To go through all of that for who? For me and for you. Right? That we might have this eternal life. So as we consider our text this morning, let's look at this triumphant entry here. And again, verse 28, it says, and when he had spoken thus, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that while he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. That's important too. And so this prescription, this whole detail was filled out to the letter. He says, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And notice verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus. So they were following the Lord, and the Lord was blessing all along the way, opening up all of these doors. And now we're going to take notice here, as we look to our text here, the work of God. And here we really have a lesson for all of God's disciples who would learn a lesson of how to magnify our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again, verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Now, what was moving them if not the Lord, right? Here's the Lord. This was a time that the Lord said was going to take place. Again, back in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and it was being fulfilled here. And the disciples were privileged to be a part of this fulfillment of the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was a quick response. It wasn't something that was just kind of half-hearted. They didn't wait for Jesus to enter into the city. But the Bible tells us here, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, they began to rejoice, right? So why were they waiting? They were excited about who the Lord was. So we honor the Lord to have a quick eye to perceive occasions of gratitude, should we not? Yeah. I mean, we should, what do we have to thank the Lord for, right? Everything we have to thank the Lord. So we don't want to allow blind unbelief or thanklessness to allow the favors of God to lay forgotten in unthankfulness. And if we're not careful, we can get so busy about what the world calls number one, and that's us, and have no room, nothing to praise God for. Listen, we ought to praise the Lord for our health. But and all the many good things that he gives to us, our intellect, that's not ours. What God has given to us is a gift from the Lord. But above all of that, he's given to you and I eternal life on top of that. And that lasts forever. And so they were thankful for all of this. And then notice here in verse 36, it says, "And as he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God," notice, "with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." So they were witnessing God working in their own lives. And then notice verse 37, "The whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise the Lord." So again, 37, "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice." So I would dare say the disciples of the day, they had trials, wouldn't you say? I would say maybe there was a sick family member at home. There was a multitude of them. Maybe things weren't going their way. Maybe they had a hard day the day before. Maybe they were having a hard day that day. We don't know that. But because there was a multitude of them, when you gather a multitude of people together, wouldn't you say we all have our problems? We all have our battles, right? We start out thinking, okay, I'm getting ready for the day of worship, right? This is going to be a wonderful day. And things don't always go right, do they? As you get ready to do things for the Lord. And so maybe somebody had a sick family member that may have been handicapped or crippled to a certain degree that they were responsible for. But I want you to see that they all stopped at that moment to lift up and magnify the name of God Almighty and praise the Lord. Isn't that great? And so God wants us to praise him. And as these disciples were rejoicing and praising the Lord, and again, they all had different things happening in their life. And next, notice, it was a multitude of people that had gathered together there in verse 36, and again, with a loud voice. And 37 says this, "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." And so they're excited about the Lord. They're praising him with a loud voice. And notice again the reason why, for all the mighty works that they had seen. What kind of mighty works? Well, I would dare say, first of all, the greatest mighty work that God does for us is to wash away all of our sins. And he paid a great price for that, didn't he? In this world, we're going to have trials and tribulation, but praise the Lord, we have confidence in the next world that will never take place. All sin will be wiped out, and we can't even imagine what that's going to be like, but yet we can have faith in the Lord's promise that it's going to be true and it'll be forever. Then notice here in verse 38, the choice of their song. Look at verse 38, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven," listen to this, "and glory in the highest." So they were honoring the Lord. That was a song, by the way, that's in a psalm too that they chose. So it's good to praise the Lord, and they were praising the Lord. And then notice here also, they're in the midst of praising God. And now there's the Pharisees have an objection here. Look at verse 39. "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." Tell them to be quiet. "The Lord is wanting all of this to take place. The Lord knows what he's getting ready to face," right? He told them he was going to be betrayed. In fact, the Lord told them that one of them from within themselves was that sits at the table with them is going to personally betray the Lord. And you remember what they all were saying? Genuinely, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?" Why were they asking that? Because they did not want to be the one that was going to reject the Lord. Until Judas said, finally, he said, "Master, is it I?" And he didn't say Lord, he said Master. He never acknowledged the Lord as Lord. Judas called him master, like a rabbi or a teacher. And the Lord said, thou hast said. You said it. And then he went out. And from that moment, when he struck that deal, the Bible tells us with the Pharisees and the religious rulers, that he looked for an occasion and an opportunity from that moment on to betray the Lord. Can you imagine that? His whole disposition, Judas's whole outlook on the Lord was to set him up for a fall. And we don't want to be in that kind of a position. But here are these Pharisees in a similar situation. And I don't know exactly why. Look, again, verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. I don't know why they would say, stop them from singing glory to God, right? Well, maybe they wanted the praise themselves. Remember, they're the ones that had the broad borders and the phylacteries and all the wonderful garb and all the wonderful dress and all this appearance. And you remember them, they're the ones that say, God, I thank you that I'm not like this man over here. I thank you that I'm just something special, a cut above the rest. And so what was that? That was pride, wasn't it? And they were further away from the Lord than what they realized. And yet they knew doctrine, didn't they? They could quote scripture. And I'm not trying to tell you that it's wrong to memorize the scripture by any means, but if we have scripture and doctrine and not the love of God, we're falling short. Amen. It would be better and more important to have the love of God and compassion than to have multitudes of scripture memorized and no love. Remember what Paul said? He said, boy, if I have the faith to remove mountains, if I can do all kinds of wonderful things, if I give my body to be burned for the cause of Christ, but he says, if I have not love, he said, I'm just a noisemaker. I have nothing. I've fallen short. And so here's the love of God, even to the Pharisees, and they're asking this question here. And again, I don't know exactly why they were saying that, but I would dare say because of unbelief, to say the very least, in who the Lord was. But here we find the Lord's response here. Notice what it says here. When he was told, rebuke thy disciples, verse 40, Jesus answers in verse 40, and he said, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Can you imagine that? That the rocks would cry out. Maybe there are rocks that could say, you know what, God had hewn me for a specific purpose. There were rocks that were hewn out for the creating of the temple, were there not? Right? And so those rocks were could probably tell a story of what the Lord had used them for his honor and glory. And the Lord is saying, and I don't understand how that would happen, but that would be something of the Lord, that if these held their peace, he says, I tell you, the very rocks would cry out. That truly shows us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in there. And you know, ultimately, one day, the whole universe will praise the name of God. Isn't that going to be something? And so, again here, these Pharisees were in opposition to what the multitude of the disciples were doing. And I don't know, we don't know exactly the number of the disciples, but isn't it wonderful that the multitude, the whole group gathered together and praised the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden the Pharisees chime in and say, tell them to stop. Now, just a couple of questions. Can we be filled with the Spirit of God and not praise our God? Can we possibly be filled with the Spirit of God and not praise our God? Can we be saved from hell and be silent? Can we possibly be secure of heaven and be ungrateful? Can that be a possibility? Can we be bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and not speak of Him, not tell anybody about what he has done for us? Is that possible, that we can really be a child of God and be void of the love of God and the mercy of God in our own personal lives, and to share that love and to share that mercy with a lost and dying world? So very quickly here, as we consider this, I want to remind you what the Lord knew he was getting ready to face. Here he is coming in triumphant entry, but I want you to know that he knew what was yet to come, did he not? He knew that Judas was going to betray him, did he not? He also knew the false arrest that was going to take place in the garden. He also knew the mock trial that was to take place before the Sanhedrin. He also knew the back and forth that was going to take place between Pilate and Herod. And did you know that they were against each other, Pilate and Herod? They didn't like each other. But because of Jesus and the problem that Jesus presented, they became friends. What a sad testimony. And the Lord also knew the scourging and the beating that was going to take place in his life. Why did the Lord go through that? For you and I, did he not? He also knew about the crown of thorns. He knew the shame and the spitting that was going to take. Can you imagine that? The King of Kings. He was going to be shamed. He was going to be mocked and ridiculed and spat upon. And the Lord could have stopped that at any time, couldn't he? But he didn't do that. The ridicule he would receive through the streets of Jerusalem on the way to the cross, remember? Others he saved, but not himself. Look, here's the King of the Jews. What's going on with him? He doesn't look too much like a king right now. But question, was he not the King of the Jews? And was he not the King of the whole universe? And yes, he was. And then ultimately, the nailing of the cross. But above all, the forsaking of his Father when all of our sins, not most of them, all of our sins were placed on him for our salvation. What an amazing Savior you and I serve. What a loving God to do that for each and every one of us. And this morning, God wants to remind us that he loves us and that he has given himself for us and that he wants to use us for his honor and glory, right? That we have the privilege of serving a risen Savior. He sits at the right hand of God today, does he not? On majesty. And he's coming again. And God wants us to be ready. How will we be ready? With the love of God beating in our hearts and minds. With a word of praise and thankfulness every day. Listen, it's good to pray and call upon the Lord for whatever our needs are. But how about praise him for what he's already done and doing in each and every one of our lives? May we never take that for granted. So this morning, as we consider this account of the Lord's triumphant entry, may we be reminded who he did that for, and that's you and I. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the great price that you paid for each and every one of us. Lord, may we never forget that. May we never take that lightly or for granted. And Lord, may we always be thankful for what you've given to us, not only in salvation, but all the many other blessings. May we think on you and what you've given and what you want to give to each and every one of us. And we'll give you all the praise. Lord, may we never miss an opportunity to praise your holy name and to thank you for your mercy, grace, and goodness to each and every one of us. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.